If you are of a certain age, I invite you to hum along or even sing with me. Slow down, you move too fast. You have to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. La da 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 da, feeling groovy. Hello, lamppost, what you knowin'? I've come to watch your flowers growin'. Ain't you got no rhymes for me? Doo-doo-doo-doo, feeling groovy. Da 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 da, feeling groovy. The 59th Street Bridge Song, which sprung from the incomparable music mind of Paul Simon some years ago on a particularly upbeat day as he was walking through the streets of New York City. And he was attuned to all of the beauty around him. He wanted the entire city to stop and drink in the wonder of that scene, even in those cramped urban New York City streets. Slow down. You move too fast. It was a light contemporary counterpart to the theme of Psalmist in Psalm 46, who urged us, be still. Be still and know that God is God. Unlike Paul Simon, he was not talking about something temporary, not a momentary mood. He was talking about a very intentional, habitual discipline. Be still and know that amidst the tumult of life, even though the earth changes and the waters roar and foam and the mountains tremble with tumult and nations rage and kingdoms totter, God is working. God is working sometimes obscurely, sometimes spectacularly, sometimes quietly. But God is working despite the chaos, sometimes even through the chaos, to bring all of creation toward the divine will. God is at work to bring peace within us, and therefore, whatever is happening in our lives, we need not live filled with anxiety. We need not fear. To live rightly is to know that God every day is trying to communicate to us the divine nature, divine comfort, divine peace. To live wisely is to discipline ourselves, to feel the wonder of God's presence around us, and the blessedness of our lives. To live faithfully is to heed that non-negotiable injunction of the psalmist. Be still. Periodically stop. And drink in the wondrous fact, God is God. And we need not fear. Now, I admit, I am probably not the best person to advise others on how to live slowly. But if ever my words on this subject have credibility, it's after a couple of weeks vacation, because vacation has a way of slowing you down and causing you to see things you wouldn't normally recognize. When you're on vacation, you lie on your back in a pool and you watch the clouds parade overhead. I guess they do it all the time. But how rarely do we stop to watch. To be on vacation is to sit on a balcony on a hot summer morning enjoying the sweetness of a cold grape Gatorade. Now you can drink grape Gatorade anywhere, but it tastes so much sweeter when you stop to savor it. To be on vacation is to be in a boat on a windless morning and to gape and wonder at the placidity of the sea. And then suddenly the sun breaks out from behind the clouds and illumines the whole canvas of the heavens with this brilliant effulgence. And you feel the words of the psalmist penetrate your inner being with a chilling shudder. Be still and know that God is God. Be still. God is God. What is the psalmist trying to say to us? What is he calling us to apprehend when he says, be still? He is calling us to grasp the divine imprint upon our lives and upon every aspect of creation. God is at work, said the psalmist, making war cease, breaking the bow, shattering the spear, burning the chariots of violence with fire. God is at work bringing peace. God's imprint is upon every aspect of creation. How often do we pause to recognize it? I think of a bike ride I took with my young daughter some years ago through the swamps and lowlands of South Alabama. And as we're riding, we're listening to the buzz of the insects and the chirping of the birds and the shrieking of forest animals. And she suddenly looks at me and says, Daddy, nature is noisy. And in truth, nature was contributing to a cacophony, a symphony of sound that was there all the time. But how often do we put ourselves in places and in silences where we can hear that symphony of God's creatures? Sometimes God's peace can only come to those who discipline themselves to prepare their souls to receive it. Sometimes it's only in pausing to stop from doing, but just listening, feeling the imprint of the divine upon the world, that we can receive that peace. What impresses me most about this psalm is the psalmist's clear-eyed realism. It's not a Hallmark card. It's not God's beauty. It's only in beautiful sunsets and chirping birds. Look at the psalm. He's talking about the imprint of God upon creation, even amidst images of violence. The waters shake and foam. The mountains tremble with tumult. The earth changes. Nations rage. Kingdoms totter. The earth melts. These are violent images. And yet, even amidst that violence, the psalmist detects the imprint of God, the rhythms of God at work, bringing peace. It's a great biography of John Adams by the historian David McCullough. And there's a passage from Adams' diary that McCullough quotes. By this time, Adams, the second president of the United States, has lost his beloved wife, his daughter, his son, his political prestige, his health. The only real pleasure he has in life are the fruit trees he has around his house. And one wintry morning, he wakes up and finds that an ice storm has shattered all of those trees. This is what he writes. Every sprig gleamed with a luster like diamonds. Every tree was cut glass chandelier. I have seen the Queen of France bedecked in precious gems. And despite her comely face and lovely figure and all of her precious gems, she did not make the impression upon me as did those ice-encrusted twigs. The world brims with precious stones. Think about that for a moment. Here is a man who has lost everyone he cherished. Here is a man who relished the public eye and is now out of it, who loved power and has none. And the only thing he really continued to enjoy were his fruit trees, and now they lay destroyed. But his reaction is not bitterness. Rather, he writes in his diary that the more he develops in powers of contemplation, he says, I am driven to drop to my knees in adoration of the power it shapes, the wisdom that governs, and the benevolence that sanctifies all creation. I bow in adoration on my knees before the benevolence that shapes all creation. That is a man who had learned, even in the face of violence and tragedy and grief, deep loss, to be still and to drink in God's presence. Years ago, I came across a poem written by a teenage girl who was dying of cancer. And she wanted to leave some legacy to her friends, summoning them to appreciate the giftedness of life. And so she wrote this poem that she entitled, Slow Dance. Have you ever watched kids on a merry-go-round or listened to rain slapping the ground? Ever watched a butterfly's erratic flight or gazed at the sun in the fading night? You had better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Do you run through each day as if on the fly when you ask, how are you? Do you hear the reply? When the day is done and you lie in your bed, are the next 100 chores running through your head? You'd better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Ever told your child we'll do it tomorrow? And in your haste, not seen his sorrow? Ever lost touch, let a good friendship die because you never had time to call and say hi? You'd better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. When you run so fast to get somewhere, you miss half the fun of getting there. When you worry and hurry through your day, it's like an unopened gift thrown away. Life is not a race. Take it slower. Hear the music before the song is over. That young woman may not have lived a long life, but she lived a wise one. When you're on vacation, you people watch. And you watch people often governed by the most superficial of desires. They seem to live on the surface, just assuming that life is there to do with whatever they want, governed by whatever impulse impels them. And you just want to shake them and say, don't you see? Every aspect of life is God-breathed. Don't you see your indebtedness? Does it take some form of trauma or threat to make us understand the giftedness, the wonder of even a normal day? Henry David Thoreau once wrote, "The unexamined life is not worth living, but the unappreciated life is even less worth living." That's why we gather for worship, to share our collective wonder at the giftedness of our lives, to share our collective appreciation for the divine imprint upon each of us and upon our collective family together. I couldn't help but think of a memory of fishing with my sons a few years ago in the ocean, trolling on a very quiet day. And the dolphins decided to surround our little boat and were swimming beside us. And then suddenly something happened which I've never seen before. The dolphins started flipping balls in the air. Oh, what in the world? Did some kids' beach balls come out? Then I realized, no. These Australian jellyfish, these big spherical blobs without tentacles, the dolphins were catching them and flipping them up with their beaks right into the air. There was no crowd to applaud. There was no trainer to give them rewards. They were flipping jelly balls in the air with their noses for the sheer joy of doing it. And in their presence, I laughed like a child. And it occurred to me, I have met many learned scholars. I have known some very wise theologians, but I'm not sure any of them have ever grasped the true meaning and purpose of life like those dolphins flipping jellies in the air. Slow down. You move too fast. Or as the psalmist said, periodically, be still and know that God is God, and do not fear. May we pray together. Lord, may we indeed, to some small measure, imbibe the joy of living. Open our eyes to your divine imprint upon us. Heighten our antenna to the God-breathed nature of each day. And may we understand how deeply we are blessed that each normal day is filled with your grace. And may we respond with joy and faith. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.